हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ईशावास्यम् ईशावास्यम् इदगं सर्वम् इदगं सर्वम् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः मा गृध कस्य श्रद्धनम् श्रद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगं समाः जिजीविषेच्छतगं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असुर्यानाम ते लोकाः अंधेन तमसा वृताः तांस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनद्देवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत् तस्मिन् अपः मातरिष्वा दधाति I said we are seeing the most important verses of Ishavasya Upanishad where Atma Swarupam is discussed and this very first verse actually this fourth verse of Upanishad where Isha Swarup Atma Swarupam is discussed it is said ekatvam of the atma oneness of the atma oneness being the nature of the atma indriya agocharatvam the imperceptibility being the nature of the atma and atma being atma having the sarva adhishthanatvam Atma being the substratum of everything. And also, Atmanaha Rupa Dvayavatvam Nirupadhika Drishtya Sopadhika Drishtya, how Atma is. All these are all discussed in this verse. And we have already seen Anijat. I am reminding you, even though Ajr Dhatu is Atmanepadi Dhatu, actually in conventional language it must be Ejamanaha. But in Veda we can't correct it, it is there as Ajat. Okay, Anejat. Ajat is moving, but Anejat means Anejamanaha. You have elaborately seen. Now you know, if you hear the word Anejat, Anejamanaha, you know how Atma is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Atma is unmoving. And I gave a nice definition, I'm sure you all remember. Sva Avastha Prachyutihi. Isn't it? Is Chalanam. Sva Avastha Prachyuti Rahitam. You must remember that which does not give up your nature, that does not stray away from its nature. And Ekam Atma is, how Atma is free from Sajatiya, Vijatiya, Swagata, Bheda, Rahitam. It is one, Ekam, Advitiyam, Advaitam. One, second is non-dual reality. There is nothing, there is no second Atma. There is no second nothing other than Atma is here. Then, this Atma, Nirupadhika Drishtya, it is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness, doesn't move. But still, the standpoint of Upadhi, Atma is seemingly moving. Atma is seemingly moving. How? From Upadhi Drishtya. Isn't it? So, to say Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness, how Upanishad says, here, Manasaha Javiyaha, faster than the mind. We saw elaborately in the morning. I'm sure no doubt is there for anybody. Doubt is there. Tell me doubt is there, I will not go ahead. I see that you are clear, only then I will go ahead. Then, Yena na enat devaha apnuvan. And if you remember, here the word devaha means karnyanendriyam, sense organ. Isn't it? So devaha enatna apnuvan means what? Even Atma is not an object of action, nor is it object of knowledge. By doing something, by karma, we cannot attain Atma as a result of an action. So object is not an object, Atma is not an object of action. Atma is not an object of knowledge also. This also made very clear this morning, isn't it? I won't come to the point. I remember you asked me, I tell you very clear. Then Purvam Arshat. Purvam Arshat means what? There is no place, no time, nothing which is not already pervaded by Atma in and through. Atma is, there is no time, no space which is outside of Atma means what? Atma is all pervasive. And we also saw Vyomavat Vyaptatvat, that it is all pervasive like space. Well, for us to understand, see, space itself is all pervasive and Atma pervades the space also. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is made very clear. Avakasha Pradata Atma. Atma is all accommodative. Space is all accommodative. Avakasha Pradata, Pradata Akashaha. Where do all these forms, names and functions exist? Avakasha Pradata means space is all accommodative and space itself is accommodated in Atma. Which means Atma is what? All pervasive. Therefore, it is pura marshyate. Atma need not physically travel to go and sit somewhere to receive. Atma is already always there. And we know mind is the fastest, but still Atma is faster. Atma seems to be faster than mind, which means Atma is already there everywhere. Okay. Tad dhavataha anyam atyeti. Is what we have to see now. We are seeing the Bhashyam. We will go to the mantra. And this Atma, it's Upanishad presents it, this mantra, in such a way as though there's a running race between Atma, mind and sense organs, and Atma overtakes sense organs, Atma overtakes mind, Atma remains the first. What does it mean? Atma can never be reached by the mind and sense organs. And here, it is this Atma staying, remaining in this Atma alone. Hiranyagarbha ordains, delegates, divides duties for all the devas. It will bring up to us. So we'll see that now. Okay. We will see Mani. Purameva gatam yomavat vyapitvat sarvavyapi tad atmatattvam. Tad atmatattvam sarvavyapi. That reality means what? The reality which we want to know, which is the truth of the whole universe. But that reality which you want to know, therefore it is that, is the one which obtains as your own self. When I say your own self, Upanishad addresses every one of us. The reality implied by the term Atma, because of its nature of all pervasiveness alone, the reality is implied by the term Atma. Why reality is implied by the word Jnanam? Because of its nature of knowing. Because of its nature of all pervasiveness, it is implied by the term Atma. And that Atma is what now? Is there as the innermost essence of every being. It is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, what is the truth of I? Every individual to refer to one's own self uses this pronoun, first person singular pronoun I. What is the content of I? Content of the word wave, the form wave, the function wave is water. Similarly, what is the content of I? Reality. What is its nature? Knowing. How does it obtain? Obtains as the knower. I. What is it? Pure knowledge. Reality. We use the term consciousness or knowledge because of its nature of knowing. Jnanasurupaha Atma. But that Atma and that Atma Tattvam Sarvavyapi, which means not only Atma is inside the body, inside the body there are sense organs, behind the sense organs there is mind. Look at this. What happens? It's a physical body. And within the physical body there are physical parts, and where we have subtle, imperceptible sense powers and powers of organs of actions. And behind these powers we have antahkaranam, mind. And in the mind there is Atma. Atma is inside alone. Atma has no inside. Atma has no outside. Atma is in and out. In fact, everything is in Atma. Okay, Atma has no inside and outside. In the standpoint of consciousness, there is no inside, outside. Listen. Therefore, Atma is one means, Sarva Vyapi means what? Even though it is all pervasive Atma, there is no place where it is not, no time it is not, no object which is not pervaded by Atma, still Atma is available for recognition only as the truth of one's own self. Because Atma has to be arrived at only in terms of its nature of knowing. And therefore, you have to only discover who this knower is, and if you search for who the knower is, and you can't find any knower, what now? That knower is none other than Atma, the reality. Consciousness implied by the term Atma. Okay, now, and this is what Sarva Samsara Varjitam. It is this Atma which is free from Varjita means divided off. Sarva Samsara Varjitam, it is absolutely free from all forms of afflictions of samsara. Atma has no body, consciousness has no form, consciousness has no body, consciousness has no sense organs, consciousness has no mind, consciousness has no pranas, consciousness has no punyam, no papam, consciousness does not do any action, consciousness does not enjoy any results of actions, consciousness doesn't have any birth, death, change, old age, suffering, disease. Consciousness is absolutely free from all forms of features of samsara. You know, sarva samsara dharma varjitam atmatattvam. If you go into your mind, always remember, sarva samsara dharma varjitam atmatattvam. Sarva samsara dharma varjitam atmatattvam. Atma is ever free from all forms of afflictions. And what is this? Atma, Atma. I am that Atma. So, I am free from all forms of problems. Even though I am Atma, I am free from all forms of afflictions. But what do I say? I have all problems. I have punyam, I have papam, I have pain, I have suffering. I say, I superimpose everything. Why do I say? That is because of, that's why you have to understand, upadhi upahita viveka abhava. Because we do not have the discriminative understanding of upadhi upahita upahitam veda. See, upadhi dharmas, natural for every upadhi to have its own attributes, its own features, but those upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the upahitam. But are they really superimposed? They are falsely transferred. But what falsely transferred is mistaken to be really as though they are transferred. Because of abhiveka. So it is said in the last verse sentence, svena nirupadhikena swarupena avikriyameva. Avikriyameva means what? Atma is absolutely free from modifications, changes and afflictions. Even though Atma is of the nature of unafflictedness, still swarupena, but still upadhikritaha sarvaha samsara vikriyaha upadhikritaha. The all these features of samsara, afflictedness, all these afflictions, etc., which are actually which belong to the upadis, anubhavati eva, as though Atma is going through all forms of afflictions and problems. Why? For whom? Avivekinam Mudhanam Anekamiva Cha Pratideham Pratyavabhasate. It seems Pratyavabhasate, Pratyavabhasate is what? It appears as though Atma is many. Atmas are many. As though Atmas are many. Why? Pratideham, there's Atma. Atmas are mistaken to be many. Atma is mistaken to be many Atmas, even though it is one. Atma is mistaken to be going through suffering, afflictions. Iti etadaha. Okay, now he explained again this much. See, how many suns are above? Only one sun. But you can see when you go to the sea, there's so many waves. In every wave, there is reflection of a sun. How many reflections are there? Innumerable waves. Over innumerable reflections of the sun. When you see the reflections of the sun, innumerability of the reflections should not be mistaken for the innumerability of the suns. Sun is one, but reflections are many. Why are there so many reflections? Because so many reflecting media, the waves. In every wave, there is a sun. Not only there is a sun, the sun seems to be many. Because of the plurality of the waves, the sun also is mistaken to be plural in number. Then the wave is moving and the reflection also is moving. Reflection is moving. Why reflection is moving? Reflecting medium is moving. Isn't it? And all the waves are moving and all the reflections are moving. And can you say sun is moving? Seeing that, can we say suns are many, the many suns? And all the suns are moving also. The many atmas are suffering also. No. Sun doesn't move, sun is one. But reflections are many. In keeping with the number of reflecting media, and the because the moving is the reflecting media's dharma. Therefore, the sun, the reflection also seems to be moving. Movement of reflection, of course, the wave is moving. The reflection seems to be moving because of the reflecting media's movement. Actually, sun doesn't move. Even the reflection goes, so nothing happens to sun. Is it clear? Like that, how one sun reflected in many waves appears to be many, and when because of the movement of the waves, the reflections are seem to be moving. Similarly, only Atma manifest in all the minds seem to be many. Okay, and whatever the mental features are there, and they all seem to be Atmas. Atma seems to be afflicted. Really speaking, Atma is untainted, untouched. Is it clear? Even if even if something happens to the wave, so the reflection, nothing happens to the reflection, isn't it? Suppose you are seeing your face in a mirror. Mirror breaks. What happens to the reflection of your face? What happens? Nothing happens. Your face is safe. Okay? If the reflection goes, what happens to the reflection? The reflection dies. No, reflection is with your original face. Is it clear? That it means how similarly Atma is ever free, untainted. Okay. Now, we'll read next paragraph. Taddhavataha drutam gacchataha anyan atma vilakshanan manovagindriya pravrutin manovag indriya prabhutin atyeti. Atyeti is a verb. Aditya gacchati iva. Iva is very important. As though Atma is overtaking. As though Atma goes beyond mind and sense organs. Of course, Atma is beyond mind and sense organs means Atma is distinct from the mind. Atma is distinct from sense organs. Atma is distinct from physiological functions. Atma is distinct from the physical body. But Atma is not distant from body, mind, sense complex. There is no physical distance between Atma and Anatma, body, mind, sense complex. What is the distance between illumining light and the illumined opaque thing? What is the distance? The distance? No distance. But is light, which is this, which is this, even though light is not distant from this opaque, isn't it light distinct from the opaque? Definitely, light is distinct. Light is not opaque. Illumining light is distinct from the illumined opaque, though not distant. Similarly, the knower consciousness, knower I, knower Atma consciousness, is not distant from the known mind, known thoughts, known sense organs, known physiological functions, known body, known anything known, but still the knower consciousness is distinct. The known can be reduced to one word, matter, anatma, mithya, whereas the knower consciousness is atma, atma tattvam. And that Atma Tattvam, he says here, dhavataha drutam gacchataha anyan. What is anyan? Atma vilakshanan. Those Atma, as though running, as though walking, being, it is distinct, it is other, the rest of the things, anatma, aspects, mind and sense organs, etc. Mana, vak, indriyani. So vak stands for all organs of actions also. Karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, all of them are running space. Okay? Karma indriyani, jnana indriyani, prabhruti, atyeti. Atyeti means what? Atma is the very, Atma is distinct but not distant. At the same time, Atma is all pervasive. Because of the presence of Atma, mind, sense organs, all organs, body, everything enjoys existence. Because of the blessing of presence is blessing. Sthitireva anugraha. Presence of Atma is the blessing. Like presence of light is the blessing for the opaque things. Light blesses the opaque things. What does it mean? By its mere presence, light is blessing the opaque things. By its mere presence, without doing any action, any effortlessly, light brings everything to light. Thereby, lends existence to light, opaque things. If light is not there, everything is covered, everything will lose its status of being existent, they will lose their existence. Similarly, Atma lends existence, Atma lends consciousness. How? Not physically lending, by its mere presence, without doing anything, by its very nature, Atma lends consciousness, sentience in existence to body, mind and scars, because of which life itself is possible. Okay, without the Atma, mind cannot even exist, and mind cannot become conscious and sentient. Mind cannot function as the mind. Similarly, sense organs cannot even enjoy existence, and sense powers cannot, all these powers cannot function. They cannot become conscious and sentient, they cannot be functional. So all of them are dependent on Atma for their existence, consciousness, sentiency and functioning. Okay, therefore Atma is beyond the scope of sense organs and mind. That's why Atma can never be an object. Atma can never be known as an object. Atma can never be perceived as an object. Atma has to be always discovered as the truth of the subject, not as an object. Okay, that's made very clear here. As though Atma is running beyond them, overtaking them. Iva artham swayameva darshayati. See, there's an expression iva. Iva means as though. Atma does not move, but as though Atma is moving. Now, see, sun doesn't move, okay? But the reflections are dancing. All the reflections of sun are moving. Does the reflection move? Tell me. The reflection of the sun move? No. Reflection does not move, but the reflecting media move. All the waves move, therefore reflections seem to be moving. Even the reflections do not move. The reflections move? No. Reflections do not move. Reflecting media, the waves move, therefore reflections seem to be moving. And what do we do now? We mistake the seeming movement is mistaken to be the real movement. Is it clear? Similarly here, Iva artham swayameva darshayati shrutihi. Upanishad itself shows Iva tishtariti swayam avikriyameva sadityartha. See, remaining changeless without undergoing any change or whatsoever, without doing any action whatsoever, Atma overtakes everything. Everything has to run. Without doing anything, Atma overtakes everything. How? As though Atma is overtaking. Is it clear? What it means is everything enjoys its existence in Atma. Next paragraph of Bhashyam. Tasmin Atma Tattve Sati. Nitya Chaitanya Swabhave Sati. See, Matarishva. Dadhati. I'll come back to it. I make myself a sentence here. Shankara Bhagavad Pada, when he is explaining in between, he goes to give the meaning of the word Matarishra. Let me make it very clear. Tasminna Atma Tattve Sati. Remaining in that Atma Tattvam, the truth, the reality, all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma, which alone is there as the Swarupam of the knower in every mind, the truth of every being, in remaining in that consciousness, Atma Tattvam, Nitya Chaitanya Swabhava, that Atma Tattvam, that all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma, is of the nature of consciousness, remaining in that Atma Tattvam, which is conscious, which is of the nature of consciousness. Nitya Chaitanya Swabhave. When is Atma not conscious? When does it become inert? Atma is ever of the nature of consciousness. Okay? Consciousness alone, reality obtaining in the form of consciousness alone is implied by the term Atma. In that consciousness alone, what now? This Matarishva Dadhati Apaha Dadhati. Now let me come next point. Okay, in the consciousness, Matarishva is there. What is Matarishva? You saw the mantra, it's very important to understand. Here, the very important thing is Matarishva Dadhati. What is Matarishva? The name, another name for Vayuhu is Matarishva. If you take the dictionary, in Sanskrit dictionary, you will find the meanings. Vayuhu. Another word for Vayuhu is what? Matarishva. Why Vayuhu is given the name Matarishva? We already have seen, Shankaracharya gives the meaning here. He explains, Matari. Antarikshe. Shvayati Gacchati Iti Matarishva Vayuhu. So Matarishva means air, Vayuhu. This air element, Vayu, is called Matarishva because it moves in the sky. So word Mata means here mother, but here Mata is sky. Mata is sky. That's why which word means what. In the Isha was felt, every word is different. I've been telling you. Mata means literally mother. But here Mata means sky. And Matari is a locative case of Mata. In the sky. Shvayati is a third person singular person tense verb. Shvayati means moves. Where does the air move? Only in the space, the sky. Isn't it? Matari Shvayati iti Matarishva. That which moves in the sky. Air is called that which moves in the sky. For Matarishva. Is the literal meaning is what? Sky. But now, sorry, air, Vayuhu. Air which moves in the sky is Vayuhu, known by the term Matarishva. Now, this air, Vayuhu, what does the air do? This Vayu is not literally air element. This Vayu is Pranabhut. Pranabhut. Pranam Bharati iti Pranabhut. Sustains all beings. Sustainer of living beings. Sarva Pranabhut. Okay. Therefore, what is it? Sarva Pranabhut. Kriyatmakaha. yad ashrayani karyakarana jatani yasmin notani protani cha yat sutra samyakam. There's a big definite, big elaborate discussion on Matrishwavali here. This Vayuhu actually is Hiranyagarbha. I have to explain why Hiranyagarbha is called Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyam Garbheyasya. The one in whom the consciousness is manifest. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha. Not a golden egg, no? Okay? Another word. Anyway, so Hiranyagarbha is a concept. Let me tell you. Hiranyagarbha is a concept we have to understand very clearly. I told you already yesterday itself, when the entire subtle universe is looked upon as manifestation of knowledge, and you see the whole subtle universe also as Ishvara. When you see the whole subtle universe as Ishvara, what does it mean? Whole subtle universe is not a bundle of energy. Every subtle universe is Ishvara. When you give a name to the Lord as what? Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha is a title given to Bhagavan Ishvara, the Lord. When the whole subtle universe is looked upon as Ishvara. Entire subtle manifestation. You know, you can understand individual subtle body, you can understand. The standpoint of the individual subtle body, you can understand the totality of subtle bodies. Subtle factors, subtle aspects, indwelling the gross forms. In all the living beings, we have subtle bodies. Wherever there is no subtle body, that becomes jadam. Let me tell you, what is the difference between a living being and a non-living thing? Animate and inanimate being. We say Atma is all pervasive. There is no place, no time, no object which is not in and through pervaded by Atma. Atma is here and in this world. Atma is reality. Reality is consciousness. Consciousness is all pervasive. In the wall there is consciousness, in the brick there is consciousness, in the floor there is consciousness, and everything consciousness is. There is nowhere consciousness is not there. But can you see consciousness? Can you understand? No. But wherever consciousness is manifest knowledge, manifest consciousness alone is recognizable. The pure consciousness is not recognizable. Okay? Manifest consciousness is recognizable. Pure consciousness is not recognizable. So, in all non-living things, consciousness is, but non-recognizable. Because it is non-recognizable, it is mistaken to be non-existent. If I tell you there is consciousness in the wall, there is consciousness in this table, in this mic, consciousness in every non-living thing, if I say, you will not take it. How can I recognize? What is the proof for me to understand consciousness is? It is not recognizable. In non-living things, consciousness is non-recognizable. Why non-recognizable? Pure consciousness cannot be recognized. consciousness becomes consciousness, it becomes manifest. Manifest consciousness alone is recognizable. Okay. Because non-recognizability of consciousness is mistaken to be non-existent, unfortunately. So where is it recognizable then? In all the living beings, consciousness is recognizable. I am not saying perceptible, visible. I say recognizable. How recognizable living beings? Because in living beings, there is life. So where do you find life? Wherever there is subtle body, sukshma shariram, there alone consciousness can be manifest. The manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of pure knowledge is possible only if there is subtle manifesting medium. Okay? So if the subtle body is there, manifestation is possible. Manifestation is there, then it is recognizable. Yeah. Like that, if we take all the living creatures, like right from amoeba, paramecium, even the unicellular organism, or even plants, sthavara, unmoving living beings, jangama, mobile living beings, chara, achara, sthavara, jangama, mobile, immobile, all living creatures, including the human beings, and all living beings, we can understand consciousness is recognizable because there is manifestation of consciousness. We recognize the manifestation of consciousness alone. We can never recognize pure consciousness, but through the manifestation of consciousness, we can arrive at the source of manifestation being pure consciousness. Is it clear? I'm really telling you very important information. Now, how do you understand in living beings? It is nothing to do with here, okay? To explain Hiranyagarbha, I have gone out now. Out of the track. Now, how do you understand in plants and living beings? Wherever you find life, there must be definitely functions happening. Many functions are happening. Even if you take a plant, there's absorption of water. The plant, you see the growth on the part of the plant. Tiny little plant becomes a big tree. And you see the flowers come out. Then the fruits, they bear fruits. They reproduce. They inhale carbon dioxide for photosynthesis. They exhale oxygen. So they are very supportive of us. At night time, plants also breathe like us, taking oxygen, leaving us outside carbon dioxide. So plants breathe, plants collect food. There's a function of photosynthesis. They produce food in sunlight and they reproduce. They bear fruits. They absorb water. Seeds come, fall, and when they become many. So wherever you find life, there are functions happening. You see the functions or not? Do you see functions? They are all living beings. If you take any animal also, all animals are involved, all definitely animals perceive. Animals have 5 sense organs. 6th sense is not there on the part of animal. What is 6th sense? Self-consciousness, the knowledge I am, that is not there. 6th sense is not there. 5 sense organs they have, they also perceive. So functions are happening. They eat, they drink, they reproduce, they have sex. Even animals are involved in all functions. So wherever you see life, we see functions happening, and all those functions are within the realm of order. Like how animal body, the functions are happening, so also on the part of a human body. Even in our own human, even physical body, all five physiological functions are constantly happening. Our kidneys are functioning, our lungs are functioning, our heart is functioning, our digestive system is functioning. All functions are always constantly functions are happening. So wherever there is life, there must be functions happening. And wherever there are functions, there is an order involved in the functions. Order means what? How they are functioning. They do not function different from how they should be functioning. It's called order is involved in all the functions. And wherever there is an order, there must be knowledge backing the order. What does it mean? When I say knowledge backs up the order, means what? Without being instructed by anybody, they are all functioning. The heart functions without expecting you to tell, come on, push the blood all over the body. Heart is functioning by itself. Without being told by you, the bladder pushes out things. Every organ is functioning without being instructed, without being ordered, without being told. Who tells the each organ to function like that? How to pump? Do you have to give any training for this heart to pump? No. It's already innate knowledge. Okay? You have to understand, wherever there is function, the life, there is a function. Wherever there is function, there is an order involved in the function. And that order is backed by knowledge. We do not see the knowledge through physical eyes, but we can understand the knowledge being manifest. Is it clear? We understand the knowledge being manifest. How do we know? We do not tell the calf, teach the calf, I will just newborn. Please go, how a poor calf will go and drink milk from its mother. It has knowledge. We do not need to teach the birds how to build their nests. We need not teach the frog how to hop. Isn't it? Why? Because every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge, appropriate knowledge to live its own life. For a butterfly, butterfly is blessed with adequate knowledge to live butterfly's life. Any bird, any animal, every living creature is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. A frog cannot live a human life. Frog is blessed with adequate knowledge to live frog's life. No creature ever goes for any training, tuition, tutorials. So only we people, we only need all tuitions and trainings. Is it clear what I'm saying? Means without being taught, without being instructed, every living creature lives its life. We need not tell the tree, spread your, now the tap water to that corner. Water is available there. Go and drink water. The tree's tap root, big nose, exactly how to penetrate and pour. And we need water diviners to get water. But the tap root goes finding its water. Which means, what I want to say, there is innate knowledge for every living creature to live its life. That knowledge we do not see through physical eyes, but we appreciate, we can understand the knowledge being manifest. That manifest knowledge is Ishvara, the Lord. Okay, the manifest knowledge is Ishvara. That order involved in functions is Ishvara. The order, okay, the functions are Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Is it clear? Now similarly, you can see knowledge being manifest even in your own physical system. There's manifestation of knowledge in your kidneys, in your lungs, in your heart, in your blood, everywhere. Because without our, that's why involuntary functions, they're called involuntary functions. Your will is not involved. Your instructions are not involved. They function on their own. Isn't it? What do you call involuntary functions? There's no will involved. There's no instruction involved. There's no order involved. They function on their own. It means even here, who teaches the heart how to pump? Who teaches the lungs how to contract and expand? There's no teaching. There's knowledge already. Can you see knowledge through physical eyes? Can you take a photograph of knowledge? No. But definitely we can understand knowledge being manifest. That knowledge is manifest knowledge. Manifestation of consciousness. But the thing is, how can I understand? How can it? And this manifestation, the level of manifestation differs from being to being. Level of manifest consciousness is one. Source of manifestation is one and the same. But level of manifestation differs from being to being in keeping with the condition of the subtle body. And the highest form of manifestation of knowledge is in human mind. Not even human body. Okay? Only in human mind. What is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge? The knowledge of existence of the self, obtaining in the form of thought in terms of I am. The highest form of manifestation of knowledge. There's no manifestation of knowledge higher than that. That is the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. Aham asmi iti jnanam. Aham asmi iti jnanam. The knowledge I am. And the knowledge that aham asmi is called asmita. I don't know whether you read Lalita Sahasranam and all that. That Devi is worshipped as asmita. She who is manifest as the knowledge of self-existence in terms of I am. Asmita ayai namaha. Is it clear? Now, we want to know this knowledge is manifest. And not only this knowledge of existence of the self in human mind, knowledge of what is. This is tree, this is mic, it is living being, this non-living thing, is running. The knowledge of what is also there. Other than self, what else is there? Knowledge of this existence of the self, knowledge of the existence of the world also is there. I am world is. Isn't it? This is world, I am the knower, this is the known world. This knowledge also is where? Is also manifestation of knowledge obtaining of thoughts in human mind. But now we want to know the knowledge is manifest. You recognize, okay? Wherever there is manifestation of knowledge, you recognize consciousness is manifest. Consciousness alone is recognizable. Here consciousness is, it is not recognizable. Why? There is no manifestation. Why? There is no manifesting medium. There is no sukshma. And human mind, human mind is capable of discovering any subtle, penetrating and probing into things, you can discover amazing facts. But here Shastra says, discover what is this knowledge, manifest knowledge, obtaining in your thought. Where does this knowledge rise from? Where does it exist? Where does it resolve? What is the source of manifestation? Is it clear? In the mind, knowledge is in the horizon. Knowledge rises in the mother thought, exists in the mother thought, then resolves. When the knowledge rises, I am waking state. The thought resolves, knowledge goes deep sleep state. Is it clear? Comes and goes. So what is the source of this manifestation? And that is why only in human mind, only as the truth of knowledge, I, the source of manifestation, the source of manifest knowledge can be discovered. Self-discovery, self-knowledge. Is it clear? Now we say this. There is subtle, now you understand there is subtle body here. So all these functions are happening. Subtle functions. Without the mind, without the sense organs, without the powers of organs of actions, without the physiological functions, without the sukshma, stholam will be dead. Okay? Stholam will be dead. So, what is mind now? Mind itself is manifestation of knowledge. Everything is manifestation of knowledge only, actually speaking. So without the sasukshma, grass cannot be alive, grass will, even sukshma leaves, this will be like a log of wood. Understand now? When the sukshma leaves, consciousness will be there still. What is not there? Manifestation of consciousness will not be there. Therefore, the sukshma leaves, then it is non-recognizable. Like any piece of wood. Is it clear? So what I am saying, the subtle manifestation, not only the gross manifestation, gross universe, it's externally perceptible through sense organs, is what? Gross universe. But subtle is imperceptible at the same time, subtle which indwells the grass. Now from your own, from you, when you understand your own subtle body, there is a mind. You can't see your mind, but still you understand there is mind. There are thoughts, there are emotions, anger, fear, desire, you know all of them. Your physiological functions, your powers, you can see, you can do. There is a sukshma. So with reference to individual, there is a sukshma. And there's a corresponding total. Corresponding to individual Sukshma is what? Sukshma Shariram. Sukshma Dehaha, the name is given. The corresponding totality of subtle aspects. Given a big name, Hiranyagarbha. So Hiranyagarbha means total, all minds, all pranas, all intellects, all sense powers put together is Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear now? Therefore, imagine every mind has what? Capacity to know. So mind has what? Every antahkaranam is blessed with the capacity to know. Jnana shakti. And what do you have? Jnana. Every mind is blessed with the capacity to desire. Iccha shakti. Every mind is blessed with what? Kriya shakti. Every individual is blessed with all the three shaktis. We have the capacity to know. That is why somehow Google and find out there is a place called Bahamas and there NASA and there Shivananda Ashram is there and there they teach yoga. Let us go on study. First of all, they come to know first. Then the desire comes. Let me go and learn yoga. Then they book the flight and come here for teacher's training course. So knowledge, action presupposes desire. Desire presupposes knowledge. Jnana shaktihi, Iccha shaktihi, Kriya shaktihi. Every mind has three shaktis. And we say the totality of all, total jnana shakti, total kriya shakti, total iccha shakti, all shaktis, all powers put together is what? Omnipotency. Isn't it? And now we say Hiranyagarbha is personification of the totality of powers. So omnipotent Lord. Hiranyagarbha is what now? A concept, omnipotent. All the powers. You understand first your own mind. What all powers you have. You have capacity to understand, capacity to know, capacity to desire, capacity to fulfill your desire by doing appropriate action. Isn't it? The capacity to act is what? Kriya Shakti. Every individual has little shakti. And all shaktis put together is what? Totality of all powers. One who is endowed with the totality of all powers, powerful. Isn't it? Omnipotent Lord. Omnipresent Lord. Omniscient Lord. All knowing, all powers, all powerful, all everywhere it is, all omnipresent. Is Hiranyagarbha. What is Hiranyagarbha? Manifestation of knowledge in the form of subtle universe. I had a lot of work here to make you understand. That's why I'm going out of track. Is it clear? Give me clear a little bit. Let me tell you one thing. See, this mic is there, which is opaque in nature. Opaque means what? It does not have capacity to shine by itself. If it has to shine, it is dependent on light. Because it's opaque. Any object which is opaque is dependent on light to come to light. So light does not do anything. Light does not create the opaque thing. Has produced the opaque thing. Light just is. By its mere presence, by its nature of illumining, light illumines the opaque thing. I say. For the light, opaque thing to come to light, what does it do? Opaque thing reflects light. Opaque thing reflects light. Do you understand? So, opaque thing can be looked upon as reflecting medium of the light. Opaque thing is what? Reflecting medium of the light. Is it clear? Opaque thing is reflecting medium of the light. First I say opaque thing is reflecting medium of the light. Then I say light is, opaque thing is reflection of the light. I change the sentence though. Opaque thing reflects the light, I say. Opaque thing is what? Reflecting medium for the light, I said. Now I change the sentence. Opaque thing is reflection of light. How do you say that? Because opaque thing does not have existence of its own. If at all opaque thing enjoys the status of being existent, it must be along with the light only. You can never separate opaque thing from the light. If suppose you separate opaque thing from light, opaque thing will become as good as non-existent. Opaque thing will become as good as non-existent. So opaque thing is what? Reflection of the light. First I said opaque thing reflects light. It's a reflecting medium of the light. Then I say opaque thing has no independent existence. Light alone is shining in the form of opaque thing. Your opaque thing is reflection of the light. Every opaque thing is reflection of light. Reflection of light is non-different from the source of reflection. Okay? Similarly, the entire objective universe, including your body, mind, sense complex, including all the subtle aspects, mind, thoughts, emotions, cognitions, perceptions, all thoughts, varieties of thoughts which constitute the mind, your sense powers, your powers of organs of actions, physiological functions, all of them. Especially mind. Okay, first mind directly. Mind is the subtle enough to be manifesting medium for consciousness. So mind, first we say mind is manifesting medium for consciousness. Then I say mind is the manifestation of consciousness. All the sense powers are what? All the sense powers. Everything which shines is what? Manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. When you look at the gross universe, how does the gross universe shine? This external world, how does it shine? When they are blessed by the conscious sense organs, the world shines. Sense organs alone illumine the external light world. Therefore, sense organs bless the external world. Because they bring the world to light. How do sense organs shine? Blessed by the conscious mind. How does the conscious mind shine? Because of blessing of the Atma. Okay? Atma is the source of knowledge. Atma is of the nature of knowledge. Atma is of the nature of consciousness, pure knowledge. The mind is manifestation of knowledge. Mind as manifest knowledge becomes conscious and sentient. Because of the being thus be conscious sentient mind, sense organs also shine because of the mind. Because the sense organs, the world shines. The world is not directly brought to light by consciousness, Atma, okay, through sense organs. Therefore, everything shines ultimately because of Atma only. Nothing can shine independently without Atma. Exactly, without the awareness, without consciousness, nothing can shine. Therefore, anything and everything which shines in the presence of consciousness is looked upon as manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. That is when you give Ishvara's status, the name Ishvara is given to the manifest knowledge. Then that is when you say the whole Jagat is Ishvara Virat. And what about the subtle manifestation? You understand your mind, your sense organs, from the standpoint of your mind, your sense organs, your physiological functions, you can understand the knowledge being manifest in all the living beings. Is it clear? When you understand your mind, you understand the mind in other people. The standpoint of your sense organs, you can understand sense organs in other people. You don't see it through physical eyes, but you can understand, you infer exactly how you have mind, sense organs and physiological functions, all of them. Every human being has like you. So even though mind is not there, still there are functions happening in all the living creatures. Whether plants or animals or worms or birds or wild animals or domestic animals, in all the animals. Understand, all the living beings, there is sukshma. Now samashti sukshma prapanchaha means the total, the subtle manifestation in its entirety is also manifestation of knowledge, and which is the concept, okay, looked upon as Lord, and the name given is Hiranyagarbha. Having it made clear? Clear?
Yes.
Who's somebody's? Clear? Yes or yes? No. Afterwards. See, you just keep on listening. Things will fall in their place. Okay? Any doubt comes, keep it aside, just listen. You cannot deny your knowledge of your existence. You cannot deny knowledge of your knowledge of existence of the world. That knowledge which comes and goes is manifest knowledge. How can you understand that is manifest knowledge? Knowledge which comes and goes is manifest knowledge. First of all, knowledge of your own existence comes and goes. When it is there, it is waking state. It is resolves, it is deep sleep state. The knowledge of existence of the world is also what? In deep sleep state it is not there. In waking state it is there. Isn't it? So knowledge which comes and goes is manifest knowledge. Is that clear? If it comes and goes means, it is manifest knowledge means, for it to go or to come back, there must be source from where becomes, where it exists, where it resolves. Like waves come, waves exist, waves go back. For the waves to come and go, there must be source. Okay? How can it come back? Well, it must have some substratum. The source of knowledge is pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Nirguna Atma, Nirgunam Brahma. Understand? Which is the truth of I. I is manifest knowledge. The source of I is what? Pure knowledge. I am is manifestation, manifest knowledge. Source of that is what? Pure knowledge. The world is manifest knowledge. Source of which is pure knowledge. Okay. That which comes and goes is manifest knowledge. It's not always there. Why it goes? It resolves, comes back. That's why you sleep, you wake up, you sleep, you wake up. Because knowledge resolves, knowledge comes back. The knowledge which comes and goes is manifestation of knowledge. Manifestations come and go. The source of manifestation eternally there doesn't come and go. That's why Hiranyagarbha is a concept. What is this? Subtle universe, subtle manifestation in terms of mind, sense powers, powers, organs, etc. All of them are also manifestations of knowledge. But its entirety is given the title Hiranyagarbha. Now we say, let me tell you, who illumines the external world? External world is illumined. Who illumines the external world? Sense organs or the mind? Sense organs. The illuminator of the external world is sense organs. Right. Sense organs are the illuminators of the external world. But only relative illuminator. Sense organs are relative illuminators. Mind does not illumine the world directly. Through the sense organs alone, illumination happens. Immediate, direct, relative illuminators of the world are sense organs. But even though sense organs are the illuminators of the world, sense organs independently, without being backed by the mind, sense organs cannot illumine. Isn't it? Therefore, the standpoint of this world, sense organs are the illuminators. The standpoint of sense organs, illuminator is the mind. Is it clear? So mind is the boss. Mind is the boss, the standpoint of the sense organs. All the powers of organs of actions, all the physiological functions. Mind is the boss. The mind falls asleep. All of them become jobless. Is it clear? Now, even though mind alone like this, if we take a totality of all minds, all intellects, and Hiranyagarbha without the sukshma, sthulam cannot function, isn't it? Can be active. Therefore, you see, Hiranyagarbha alone allots all work activities. Hiranyagarbha alone determines all the activities. Hiranyagarbha is the boss. But even though Hiranyagarbha is the boss, we say, but Hiranyagarbha, who is the boss of Hiranyagarbha? Atma. Okay? Without the Atma, mind cannot be functional independently. Understand subtle body first, then you understand totality also. Is it clear? So we say, Yasmin Stitva, come to the point. Yasmin Stitva, my God, time just gone. I want to finish the verse today. Okay. Because you have to understand a lot of basic concepts, isn't it? Simply hearing the word bath is not useful. You have to understand every small thing you have to understand. I think I should do all basic concepts first for you. Okay. Now look at this. What it says here, this Matarishwa, actually, even though it means air, it stands for Hiranyagarbha, and Hiranyagarbha alone is responsible for all the activities of everything here. But Hiranyagarbha himself cannot do anything without the blessing of Atma. Is it clear? That's why, who is the... So remaining in which Hiranyagarbha delegates all activities. What does it mean? All functions and all actions are possible because of the blessing of the Atma. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Adhyakshaha, Aham Adhyakshaha. I am the president. What it means is, Adhyakshatvam, how Atma is the like a king, like the boss there, doesn't say anything, doesn't do anything. In the presence of Atma, everything happens properly. The whole world functions. Everything, sun shines. Every devata associated with its function is involved in its function. Imagine sun says, every day I come and illumine this place. Let me go for a break, holiday. Suppose wind says, I want to go for a holiday break. What will happen? The wind blows, sun shines, stars twinkle. Understand? All the planets move in their orbit. Everything is happening here. That is possible because of the presence of the Atma. And that Atma is essential. You are essentially that Atma. Everything is essentially that Atma. Is it clear? What it says is Tasmin Atma Tattve Sati Nitya Chaitanya Swabhave. In the presence of Atma Tattvam alone, remaining in the presence of Atma Tattvam, Matarishwa, Matarishwa means Hiranyagarbha, Kriyatmakaha, Yadashrayani, Karyakarana Jatani. See, all these Karya means all physical bodies, Karana means all subtle bodies. See, lot of technical terms here, okay? Karyam literally means work. Shankaracharya's commentary is telling. Karyam, the word Karyam in the Bhashya means physical bodies. Karanam, subtle bodies. Jatani means collection, accumulation. The Jata literally means born, but here, all the Samuha. Karya Karana Jatani means the Samuha, all this accumulation. All the physical bodies, subtle bodies, all of them are interwoven. So Hiranyagarbha is the warp and woof of the entire creation. Okay? Otani. Suppose without a cloth, without a warp and woof, there cannot be cloth. Similarly, Hiranyagarbha is called Sutratma. We'll see that word. Yasmin otani protani interwoven, like a warp and woof, Hiranyagarbha, everything is woven. Yet sutra samyekam. Sutra is said to be sutraatma. Sutra means thread. No, in Krishna says sutre maniganahaiva. Just as the thread holds all the beads together, sustains all the beads. Similarly, Hiranyagarbha, everything is interwoven. Everything is held, sustained by Hiranyagarbha. It means, and that Hiranyagarbha, where does that Hiranyagarbha exist? And Hiranyagarbha is what? Sarvasya jagataha vidharayitru. Sarvasya jagataha vidharayitru means the one who sustains, maintains, ordains everything in this creation. This entire creation. Saha Matarishva. What is Matarishva? What is Hiranyagarbha? To express, Shankaracharya writes 3-4 lines. Commentary. He writes you one word otherwise. And here, Apaha Karmani Praninam Cheshta Lakshanani. Time is gone. I thought I was going to finish it today. Doesn't matter. Now, what I'll do, this part, Matarishva alone, tomorrow I'll come back and do it again. I think better. I'll talk to you again morning, fresh. I'll take 10 minutes for Matarishva. I'll finish this verse and I'll start fresh 5th verse tomorrow morning. I have to tell a lot of things. Okay. Yes, tomorrow come back and teach you. Do that. At least he's... See, I told you, even when they started, we are still in the 4th verse. 4th mantra. We were very fast. I thought we were okay in the morning. I was going to finish this mantra today. It's okay. Anyway, last bit I'll explain very clearly tomorrow. It's already time. I have not wasted the time, wasted time goes. See, one thing I understand, let me tell you one thing. First of all, let me give you a basic understanding here. The light opaque analogy is the best example, best thing for you to understand. It must be, first of all, example must be very clear. Now it's my, no questions today, I'm going to talk to you. 6 o'clock is done. Example must become very clear. You know the difference between light and opaque. Isn't it? There's something called light, a substance called light. And there are many opaque things. These opaque things, light has nothing to do with the opaque things. Light is completely distinct from the opaque things. Light does not create the opaque things. Does not create the opaque things. Light cannot destroy opaque things also. Light doesn't need to destroy opaque things. Doesn't create, doesn't destroy. Light is, opaque things are. Beginningless. Imagine. Okay. When the opaque thing can never enjoy the status of being the existent independently without the light. If there is no such a... Suppose light is completely taken away. What will happen to opaque things? All the opaque things will remain covered in darkness. When they remain covered in darkness, okay, they will become undifferentiated. You cannot make out which is mic, which is table, which is window, which is door, which is... You can't differentiate them. When they remain covered in darkness, they remain, they said to be unmanifest. Opaqueness will be unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? Opaque things will not be available for any perception, not recognition. The opaque things are not available for recognition. When they should be unmanifest, it also not undifferentiated also in darkness. You can't make when they do not even know they are. How can you know which is mic and which is table? Differentiation of forms and names also is not possible in darkness. Is it clear? Step 2, step 1, step 2. So they remain unmanifest, they remain covered, they remain undifferentiated. They are not non-existent, they are existent. But still, they are as good as non-existent. As good as non-existent means they are useless. They are not available. They can't be. They are available for transaction. You cannot come and sit on a chair. You don't even know there is a chair. It's not available for use. Not available for transaction. They're as good as non-existent. All the opaque things will lose their status of being existent. Is it clear? Now, so light comes. When the light comes, all opaque things shine. They shine means they become recognizable. They manifest. Manifest means they are available for recognition. Being available for recognition is being manifest. Not being available for recognition is being unmanifest. Is it clear? When I say the world is unmanifest, world is not non-existent. World is not available for recognition, perception, enjoyment, transaction, interaction. And world is not, similarly, when they're available for recognition, they're manifest, they're also differentiated. Oh, that is mic, this is door, this is window, this is fan, differentiated. The name forms are differentiated. Names are differentiated, functions are differentiated. What chair is for, what fan is for, what table is for, functions are differentiated. Is it clear? So become manifest. For all opaque things to become manifest, to become recognizable, to become differentiated, to be of use, to have a status of being existent, what do they need? Presence of light. Light need not do any action. Need not make any efforts. Just light has to be present. Presence of light is enough. Itself is a blessing for the opaque things. Is it clear? So, for the lights, for the opaque things to become manifest and recognizable, they are dependent on light means, okay, so they do not have independent existence. We say every opaque thing, okay, to shine, to be recognizable, to come to light, to be manifest, to be differentiated, to have the status of being existent, every opaque thing is depend on light. Therefore, every opaque thing is reflection of light. And opaque is not distensible from light. Don't stretch the example. Distance makes it lose its existence. Don't stretch examples too much. Just understand correctly. Opaque thing can never shine independently without the light. That's what I mean by saying. It can be distant. There's no distance between evening light and the element of opaque. And physical distance is not there. What is the distance? No distance. Is it clear? Now we say, even though light does not do any action, mere presence is enough. The name, form, the function, whatever the glory the mic has now, everything is because of the present blessing of light. Okay? Is it clear? Therefore, everything is looked upon as manifestation of light. Similarly, Atma, the formless, subtlest, attributeless reality, implied with the term Atma, okay, is of the nature of consciousness. Reality is in what form does reality obtain? Reality obtains in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. And we understand now that reality as the truth of the I. These methods help you arrive at it. Dhritvishya, Avastadriya, Prakriya's methods help you arrive at the reality. But now what Shastra says, this, even though you arrive at it as the truth of I, further analysis, the analyzing, dwelling upon the nature of reality revealed by the words will help you understand how the reality is. So many words we are seeing. That's what we are doing now. We are doing now what we are trying to understand Swarupam, Atma Swarupam. Each and every mantra Atma Swarupam Pratipadayati. It reveals the nature of the reality. Obtaining as the Atma, as your own self. Now what Shastra says, it is his Atma, okay, without which the entire objective universe, exactly how minus light the world of opaque things will be as good as non-existent, remain covered in darkness, without the blessing of Atma, the entire objective universe will remain covered in darkness of ignorance. Okay? Is it clear? So, when the manifestation of knowledge is not there, when there is no manifestation of knowledge, the whole jagat will be how? Will remain unmanifest, non-recognizable. Is non-recognizable, it will be undifferentiated. Non-differentiated. You can't, in sleep, the world itself doesn't exist for you. How can you differentiate? Who is this Swamiji? Who is that Swamini? Who is this? Where is the office? Where is the kitchen? Nothing. Nothing is differentiated. Everything is as good as non-existent for you. The whole world. No relationship, no mother, father, children, son. Nothing. Just you are not doing anything. So clear. World is unmanifest means world is not non-existent. World is unmanifest. Which means world is non-recognizable, is undifferentiated. World is as good as non-existent. The world loses its status of being existent. And the world is of not available for interaction, use. And when there's manifestation of knowledge, in terms of I am, the world is, the whole world shines. Consciousness does not create the matter, does not destroy the matter, does not change anything, just presence of consciousness. Okay? The opaque things shine, the material, inner material world shines. Subtle objects also shine. Sensorily imperceptible objects also shine, like headaches and emotions, mind, thoughts, functions, they also shine. They also shine. And gross universe also shines. The universe is so vast. So whatever shines, whatever is recognizable, whatever is manifest is differentiated, isn't it? How do they shine? Because everything shines in the light of consciousness. Therefore, anything and everything which shines in the light of consciousness, as a fact, is looked upon as manifestation of consciousness, manifestation of knowledge. The whole world is manifestation of knowledge, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Okay. So when you create manifestation of knowledge, you give Ishvara status. Manifest knowledge is Ishvara. Source of knowledge, pure knowledge is Brahma or Atma. Okay. So where is this manifest knowledge come from? Where does this come from? The source. Source is Atma. That is what is said here. Okay. All the physical activities, all the subtle activities, karmendriyani, jnanendriyani, physical bodies, subtle bodies, all of them function, are active, life is possible because of the blessing of Atma. Presence of Atma is blessing. Atma doesn't need to do anything. Consciousness, understand? So, suppose you look at any one phenomenon, look at it as manifestation of knowledge, you give a name, Devata. The totality of Devatas is Ishvara. You see, everything is manifestation of knowledge, Ishvara. Understand? Devata, Ishvara. Hiranyagarbha is Ishvara. Name, Hiranyagarbha is a title attributed to manifest knowledge as Ishvara. When you look at the subtle manifestation as Ishvara, manifestation of knowledge, you will name Hiranyagarbha. Look at the gross manifestation, universe also as manifestation of knowledge, you give another name for the Lord, functional name as Virat. So Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryami, three different Ishvara, three different names are nothing but functional names of only Ishvara, the Lord, okay? Manifestation of knowledge. We don't look at this, we don't differentiate, we don't say light and opaque are not one, they're not two also. They're not, why? Because opaque is not countable as a parallel reality. It can't even count a second thing also because it doesn't have independent existence. Okay? Similarly, the material world, subtle or gross or unmanifest, unmanifest world, manifest, subtle manifestation, gross manifestation, okay? All that, everything is, nothing exists outside of reality. Therefore, we look at it as Ishvara. And what is its source of knowledge because of which all subtle functions are possible and because of which all activities are also possible? That is Atma. So Hiranyagarbha, in subtle, in your subtle manifestation, everything is there, everything is interwoven in Hiranyagarbha, and that Hiranyagarbha is not outside of Atma. That's the teaching. I'll come back and tomorrow we'll continue with the same paragraph where I left. Some understanding has come now. The example, very good example here. Isn't it? See, having the status of being existent, is possible only when there is light. Otherwise, it doesn't have the status of being the existent. Even though it is existent, it is as good as non-existent. Therefore, this opaque doesn't have existence of its own independently. It is always dependent on light for its existence. Whereas light is not dependent on opaque to come to light. Self-luminous. Like that, consciousness is of the age of self-effulgence. Swayam Bhati. So Prakashaka. Is knowledge by itself. Self-existent. As world is, world has dependent existence. Therefore, dependent is manifestation of knowledge. Word light alone shines in the form of every opaque thing. If this can shine without the light, we cannot say that. Without light, it cannot shine. Therefore, light alone is shining in the form of everything. It is Atma, the consciousness alone is shining in the form of the entire world of material things. We'll see tomorrow. Okay?
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.
Keep on listening. But I really recommend, I really request all of you to listen systematically. That will be good.